KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's the John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau.
All right, tomorrow really kicks off Balloons and Bobblehead Week here on the John and Ken Show. And tomorrow is our balloon show at Memorial Park in Pasadena. S.O.B. Standing for
Jack Scott.
Save Our Balloons and Jack Scott, the state senator that wants to take away your helium-filled Mylar balloon. 45 million balloons sold in California last year, and the best Jack Scott can come up with is a few hundred outages. That's, he wants to destroy all the balloons for that.
And Governor Schwarzenegger woke up out of a five-year coma and reverted back to the Schwarzenegger that was elected in 03.
He was actually at a budget reform discussion out in Riverside yesterday with business leaders and elected officials and community leaders talking about the budget. And I guess he was complaining that the legislature hasn't done anything this year to act on the budget. And you got to listen to it because the balloon ban came up.
Look what they got done this year. Think about it. Do you remember, does anyone remember anything they got done this year? You see what I'm saying? What? Oh, the balloon law. Oh, yes, a very important law. You're right. I forgot that one, that we should outlaw balloons because they are causing the blackouts in California, not because they have a crazy system with 13 energy and the utility commissions that are tripping over each other, not because of that. Let's outlaw balloons. Let's punish the people again. Yes.
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 We got to thank the folks out in Riverside for bringing up the balloon ban, whoever that guy was, at this little meeting on the budget with local people.
So tomorrow, again, Memorial Park in Pasadena, East Holly Street, and we're going to have lots of balloons, lots of helium-filled Mylar balloons. Just hold on to them tight.
And if you are a business owner who has snack treats of a party festive nature, you're welcome to bring them, and we'll give you free publicity on the air.
Cool.
You hand them out to the...
You know, you bring cookies,
yes,
ice cream, lemonade, and all those things.
Yeah, I mean, you want to bring a small box, but I mean, if you're a business and, you know, because John and I have made many appearances over the year, and I can't recall how many times they're coming and bringing us pizzas and stuff, which is nice. But this time, it'll probably come in handy. Yeah, that's we're right. In the park. We got balloons going, picnic tables, whatever. You get the idea. So festive snack treats would really...
Festive snack treats.
No. You want to talk to producer Ray about tacos?
No.
Don't even go there.
That's right. We've already had a taco tragedy.
Let's talk
this
to Congressman Ed Royce. Always a pleasure to talk to him. And today he's going to talk to us about a bill in Congress called the Fence by Date Certain Act. As you know, the Secure Fence Act passed just before the congressional elections in November 2006. While many were happy at the time, it has been gutted, really, in many ways. And what this bill wants to do is bring back some of the provisions in the original Secure Fence Act, and also, because that's the name of it, Fence by Date Certain Act, they want this fence to be built by June 30th, 2009.
Ed Royce, welcome again. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, and the activists that turned up here today were really fired up. They turned in 250,000 petitions to implement the Secure Fence Act. And I asked one of them what he thought about how things went at the press conference today. He said, "This is how things get done in Washington with the American people screaming at the top of their lungs."
Now, talk to us about what did they do to the Secure Fence Act? Because I know you were pleased when that passed a couple of years ago, but apparently it has gone off the rails.
Well, what happened was the Secure Fence Act was a mandate for 700 miles of fence in all the areas where there are roads, to block their roads. They defined where they would be. It was a double fence, just like in San Diego, that's proved 95% effective. We had testimony, by the way, today. You know, we had the crime rate has fallen by 70% in San Diego as a result of that fence.
Is
so
that
what we
right?
wanted to do is extend it, right?
70%?
70% on the San Diego.
And they attribute it to the fence?
They attribute that to the fence, and by over 50% on the Mexican side of the fence, and it's because the cartels had controlled that territory, and now they've been stopped there. So the cartels have gone around San Diego. They're going through Arizona. We want to continue this, you know, in Arizona and in the flatlands where the roads go through across the border, and it's 700 miles. And we had, by the way, a bill up today where we tried to address this The Merida Initiative came up today.
What is that?
That was the $1.4 billion to Mexico and Central America, to go
for
to
what?
Their law
for
enforcement
security.
Officials and government bureaucrats.
Yeah, security training and stuff.
Oh,
for the
we tried to offer an amendment that instead put the $1.4 billion to actually something that would work, which would be for our Border Patrol, our sheriffs, get the fence built. But of course, the Democrats ruled that out of order. But we're
we're going to give a billion four to the Mexican politicians so they could run off with the money.
And that's what's so crazy about this. We know that if we applied this to the construction of the fence, we know what the results have been in San Diego. We know the Border Patrol have testified that they need this because there have been 700 attacks on their Border Patrol agents. We know how it drops the crime rate. And lastly, the National Drug Intelligence Center put out its situation report today that said that the drug cartels, the drug trafficking organizations and cartels, have now are expanding operations into 195 cities throughout the United States, including, by the way, Garden Grove, Westminster, San Bernardino and Riverside, and L.A. And so we're watching these cartels, the Gulf Coast Cartel and the Federation Cartel and Juarez and so forth, take over the drug marketing in these cities across the U.S.
And they have marketing rights?
The Mexican drug cartels are in these cities operating?
They're controlling the marketing. And we had a criminal investigator, special agent, Mike Cutler. You've talked to him before. He told us a large population is getting around our laws. And that situation, that environment is custom made for the drug dealers, for terrorists, for gang members. We've got 20 million people whose intentions and identity are unknown and unknowable. And, how do you engage a terrorist or gangs without knowing those identities? And so one way to do it is to build the fence. The second way is with this E-Verify program, and the Democrats moved today in response to something that was done yesterday. Yesterday, all federal contractors were required for the first time to use E-Verify. It was a requirement.
And this would affect thousands of private firms
and
who do business with the federal government to use E-Verify.
And if you don't know, E-Verify requires employers to check the Social Security numbers, and this is how you determine who's legal and who's illegal, and then you could deny the illegals the jobs.
And you're saying the Democrats did something today to try to stop this?
Yes. Yesterday, the executive order went into effect, so you have over 70,000 firms now and millions of employees who have to use E-Verify, as well as three states that have now made it state law. And so today they held hearings and yanked somebody up from the administration. And during the testimony, the chairman, Democrat chairman, said during the hearing, he told this guy to go back to the job that he came from. They're trying to scrap the only tool available to employers to check the veracity of documents presented at employment. The testimony was that on the first try, 99.5% of these are effective immediately. Now, because of identity theft of documents, it takes a second try on some, secondary verification. But once that's undergone, then all of these are resolved, and we know who's stolen somebody's identity on top of it.
Beyond the hearings, are they going to try to overturn
this executive order?
Yeah. Exactly. They're trying to figure out a way to stop E-Verify, because, as you know, in the meantime, what we're trying to do is we've got the discharge petition that we've talked about to expand E-Verify and make it mandatory. Even as individual states are passing it, we're trying to do it at the federal level, and that's part of the SAVE Act. That's a bipartisan piece of legislation we're trying to force up. So our strategy with these press conferences is to get this information out into the media and try to have the same effect that you had when you came back to your hold their feet to the fire. Last April. That was enormously effective in terms of turning up the heat on members of Congress.
That was our trip to Washington, D.C. with the listeners.
Yes, April of 07.
Yeah, and as a consequence, people over and over and over again called up members of Congress and told, you know, them how opposed they were to amnesty in any form.
And that died in June in the Senate, right?
And you killed it. And so the hope here is that with these new reports coming out of the National Drug Intelligence Center about the expansion of these Mexican cartels into our cities, as this information comes out about, you know, some of the terrorists that have crossed our borders, we can get the American public focused on what the open borders lobby doesn't want us to do, which is to secure the border with a fence and then get the SAVE Act in place.
Hang on a second, all right? When we come back, I want to talk a little more about the new fence act that you want passed, okay?
Yeah,
just to get that nailed down.
They got hundreds of thousands of citizen petitions in support of the Fence by Date Certain Act, because remember the Secure Fence Act that was signed into law by the president right before the 2006 congressional elections? Well, they've gutted it. So now the crowd that wants a real fence built is back with this bill, and we'll talk about it more with
Ed. I also want to find out how, because Bush and Chertoff are claiming they are building the fence and that they're going to have hundreds of miles of the fence built by the end of the year. So how does that square with what's going on with this legislation? John and Ken on KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Listen to me, Bill Handel, mornings at 5, right before Rush on KFI.
Tonight on Kennedy and Suits, we've been holding off talking about the gas prices until a doctor swings at somebody with a tire iron. Thank you, God. Tonight at 7 on Kennedy and Suits.
John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. John Cobell and Ken Champeau coming up in a few minutes. Details on your final chance to win tickets to the Orange County Flyers. John Cobell bobblehead night on Friday night. Oh, by the way, tonight is the Flyers home opener. You ought to go see him. Congressman Ed Royce.
Yes, Congressman Ed Royce is on with us, of course, the Republican from Fullerton and other areas, is talking about a news conference held today with he and other members of Congress and the people from Grass Fire, where they presented more than 200,000 citizen petitions in favor of a bill called the Fence by Date Certain Act. This is to take care of the problems that we've had since the Secure Fence Act passed back in late 2006. Apparently, the 700 miles of double-layered fencing, it just hasn't come to that. Well, this bill also wants it all done by June 30th, 09.
Ed, I want to go through this slowly because I am a bit confused. 2 years ago, we passed the Secure Fence Act, right? 700 miles, double-layered fencing. And then part of the act was undone. But in the last year, Bush and Chertoff have claimed, well, they're building the fence anyway, and now you want to reinstate the conditions of the original bill. Double layers, 700 miles by a certain date. What are Chertoff and Bush doing, or what are they claiming to do?
Well, here's the difference. There's really three positions on this. The first is the Republican, you know, Secure Fence Act. Duncan Hunter and I were the original authors, and that bill, as you know, required a double fence with a road in between, sensors along the way, permanent lighting, and Sandia National Laboratory determined that that was the single most effective thing to do, and we knew it worked in San Diego.
Sure, and
that
it's
was
common
our approach.
Sense. Okay, so what is Bush and Chertoff doing, though, in the last year?
And so they have had a fallback position in which they went to a single single fencing, which is not as effective as what we want to see done.
All right, are they doing that to set it up for failure? So they can say, we built the fence and we told you it wouldn't work?
But then you've got the Democrat position, which is to undermine even the single fence with all the bureaucratic and legal hurdles to undermine the fence's completion, arguing, well, it's going to harm the environment. But we know the real intent here is the open borders lobby. So the only real effective solution is not the single fencing with the vehicle barriers. It's to take the fence all the way across the area used by drug smugglers, human smugglers, the gangs, and just stretch that fence right up to the mountains.
How much double fence has been built? How many miles do we know?
Well, double fencing, you've only got you don't have that much additional beyond San Diego.
But
Bush and Chertoff,
of the 700 miles, they haven't really built any double layered fencing.
What they're talking about is a single fence. Now, the single fence helps some, and you can see by the resistance that the Democrats are putting to even the single fence, they're trying to prevent that from going forward.
All right, but why won't Chertoff and Bush go for double fencing?
You know, I believe that that's sort of their compromise, because I think Bush is not enthusiastic about this. If you recall, we put that
on
his...
Yeah, but you either want to keep people out or you don't.
We all voted for this. This passed overwhelmingly, and Bush signed the bill. We knew this was politics at the time, because it was right before the elections, but now
it's
really clear.
Well, that was the beauty of how we did it. If you'll recall, we put it before the Senate, right before the election. You guys turned up the heat. Then it went to the president's desk. Again, it was right before the election. He had to sign it, even though we knew he didn't want to. And then it became the law of the land. And
all right, but the question is, either you want to keep him out or you don't.
I agree.
And
what
everyone knows that a single fence doesn't keep out nearly as many
and
as you could with a double
fence.
What I'm saying is, the Bush and Chertoff people, do they want to say, hey, look, we built the fence and it didn't work. Ha ha, we told you so.
I kind of see something else. I think at the time they thought, well, people want the fence built. So they signed the bill, knowing full well that in the next couple of years they just undermine it, which is what they've done.
Yep.
I mean, we've even talked about how much virtual fence they want to count as part of this.
Exactly.
Do you have any idea how many of the 700 miles they want to count as virtual fence fence?
That would be the vehicle barriers and so forth. But again, I don't believe those work. And we've got the study from Sandia National Laboratories.
It's common sense, because a single fence can be scaled by a certain number of people. But then if they're in a no man's land in between the two fences and you have the right patrol going on, then it's easy to scoop them up. I mean, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out.
We're running out of time, Ed. Where is this bill, this Fence by Date Certain Act, with all the petitions that you collected for it?
Well, that bill is before the House, and what we're trying to do is get it up on the calendar, put enough pressure on members of the House that the bill is brought up. And that's where, frankly, you know, talk radio comes in. That's where press conferences, getting the media involved, getting people talking about this on the internet comes in, because it's only when they feel the heat that they see the light on this. So we've got to, you know, get back to where we were when we got enough passion and enough people involved that we got the thing passed in order to actually build the double fence. In the meantime, we've got to keep reminding people that we're losing ground very quickly as these cartels, again, begin to reestablish control over that border. And I guarantee you, within the next year, we're going to be talking about the power of those cartels as they move into the United States, just as this report that came out today that I shared with you talk about the growing power. The situation report that came out of the National Drug Intelligence Center says, you know, this is just the beginning. They're expanding their operations. Border security is the way to stop them, and we're not doing that border security. So that's why we have to be talking about this.
Thanks for coming on. And you're not banning any Mylar balloons in Washington, are you?
Well, it's illegal in California.
And you're not.
It's going to be.
And you don't have any homes foreclosed, do you?
No. All right, talk to you later.
I didn't know you hung up.
I hung up on him. Yes,
yeah, that gives the Laura Richardson story. All right, when we come back. It's a match made in heaven. Obama, McCain, and La Raza. Details coming up.
On the John and Ken Show, Terry Elmer has the news now on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Public stimulation.
Every year, I am honored to give the commencement address to the class of 2008. I do that here on KFI. And the reason I'm asked is, frankly, I ask myself, because no one else will do that. Tomorrow at 8, my commencement address.
Bill Handel, 5 to 9.
KFI AM 640.
John and Ken Show, John Cobell and Ken Champeau on KFI. This is last call here. Friday the 13th, KFI night at the Orange County Flyers. Flyers are a minor league baseball team that I own a piece of, and I want you to come this Friday night because it's John Cobell bobblehead night. 500 bobbleheads to the first 500 fans through the gate. We're going to do our show live from Cal State Fullerton's Goodwin Field from 3 to 7. The game starts at 7:05, and then... At 3 o'clock, the gates open, and you have to win a ticket or buy a ticket in order to get in, to either watch us or watch the game. And today's your last chance to win a ticket, a family four-pack of tickets. Go to KFIAM640.com, click on Contests. Now, do it now, because it won't be there tomorrow. It's your last chance to win tickets for KFI night at the Flyers-Reno Silver Sox game, Friday night the 13th. In fact, tonight's the home opener for the Flyers. At Cal State Fullerton, sponsored by Cunning Dental. When was the last time you had a checkup? Call now for a free exam and x-rays at 1-877-41-SMILE.
All right, coming up after 5 o'clock, we'll be back on tomorrow's big balloon show. We're going to talk to a balloon pioneer. That's right, a guy that many people in the balloon industry know well, because he put together many festive balloon celebrations, large ones too, including the 1984 Summer Olympic Games here in Los Angeles, the big balloon display and release that went up. So he's going to talk to us after 5
he
o'clock
knows
because
balloons.
He too thinks the balloon ban bill is a horrible and stupid idea. And of course, come to tomorrow's show in Pasadena at Memorial Park beginning at 3 o'clock. All the information's on the website at KFIAM640.com. Just click on the John and Ken link. Well, Barack Obama and John McCain proving to you on the issue of illegal immigration that neither one is a very good choice in November will both be traveling to San Diego next month to speak at the annual convention of the National Council of La Raza.
The race.
The race. The nation's the largest Latino civil rights and advocacy organization.
Oh, no, it's...
They would tell you they're just the NAACP for Latino people.
This is the racist, anti-American, anti-white, anti-black organization is what they are. They promote their own race over anybody else's race.
Both senators are expected to address immigration. Well, yeah, what do you think? And other issues pertinent to Latino voters. This will occur July 12th through the 15th at the San Diego Convention Center. Of course, Tony Villar is going.
The
San Diego mayor will be there.
The recent polls have showed that even though Hillary was overwhelmingly supported by legal Hispanics in this country and in this state.
Oh, you mean because they voted for her?
They voted for her over Obama in the primary.
And you're certain no illegals voted? Just throwing that in.
Nah. Somebody's got to prove to me. I don't think many vote. But in the general election, the early polls show it overwhelmingly going for Obama over McCain. And I really hope that continues because it'll prove that the Republicans are really stupid trying to push amnesty in order to buy Hispanic votes for the Republican Party.
That was the great brainstorm of the late Karl Rove.
Well, Karl Rove is a...
Sits there on Fox News television as a prognosticator. That was his big idea. That we're going to grab the Latino vote and take it for the Republicans by pushing for amnesty year after year during the Bush years.
Well, he is now a discredited dope. Because it didn't get the many Republican votes. You actually have nearly two-thirds of Hispanics willing to vote for a black guy. And believe me, there's a lot of latent racism against blacks among
Mexicans.
They didn't
want to be stuck with what happened in the 60s to the Republican Party when the Democrats grabbed the civil rights vote and the black vote by pushing for the Voting Rights Act.
Karl Rove was no genius. Like most of these political consultants, they may luck in on one election and they're immediately anointed a genius, but the truth is they're not. He's an idiot. And so all this pandering for amnesty just pissed off a lot of Americans, pissed off a lot of the Republican base, and got you nothing, got you zip. When it came to the Hispanic vote, you're going to see if I'm sure this trend will hold. And now it's going to be Obama winning the Hispanics overwhelmingly because more important than immigration to most people is whether they get free stuff from a political party. And poor people always, always, always vote Democratic and they always will vote Democratic as long as the Democrats are offering free stuff.
McCain will be interesting to see. Even the National Council of La Raza president, Janet Muguria, said so. And she said, Senator McCain will be in an interesting position. I think people will be interested to see where he still is on immigration.
He will
Because as you know, he pushed the Kennedy-McCain amnesty bill, last year. Last year he stayed out of it because he was running for president. He let that thing float and then die in the Senate on its own. He didn't get too involved. But for the years leading up to that, he was a big advocate for a huge amnesty. But after the people spoke out last June against amnesty and he was running for president, he kind of ran to the corner and said, we need to do enforcement.
Well, it's pointless to analyze politicians and what they say. It's stupid.
So what will he do if he becomes president next January is the question.
What he does, he'll probably eventually push for amnesty because that's in his soul.
Well, remember, he made that speech on what the year 2013 was going to look like when he's getting ready for his second term. And one of the things he mentioned in that speech is that the borders are now secure and we can work to legalizing all these people. That's his goal.
You have to analyze his humanity. He's an old man who could die in office. When you're old and you're a politician, you're going to go with your passions. You're going to go with whatever legacy you want to leave behind to history. And if he believes in amnesty as deeply as he does, he will push for it. He'll push for it and try to win it. We're going to have to fight him on it. It doesn't matter what he says at La Raza. It doesn't matter what he said a year ago or 2 years ago or 10 years ago. What matters is, over the course of his political life, he has pushed for amnesty. It's in his blood. It's like in Bush's blood. They haven't changed their minds, but they want to win. So they're trying to figure out how to finesse it, how to pick their spot, how to give half a loaf to the other side or a quarter of a loaf to the other side, how to position themselves in order to get what they ultimately want. He ultimately wants amnesty. Now, he's willing to do some bartering to get the amnesty, but that's where he wants to end up. And it might be phased-in amnesty. It might be amnesty in exchange for some half-assed border fence. I mean, but ultimately what he wants to do is forgive all the illegal aliens that are here.
The only other bill I can remember him being out in front on and a big advocate of was like his campaign finance reform stuff, which we're not going to talk about. It's eye-glazing. But other than that, in this amnesty bill, you got to wonder, what does McCain want his legacy to be?
Amnesty.
Should he be president for 4 years or 8 years?
Amnesty. But first he has to become president. So what he's going to do at La Raza is offer a pile of mush that nobody's going to be able to figure out, and everybody's going to read whatever they want to read into it.
I'm hoping he decides more that he's going to be more interested in fighting terrorism or something than pushing for amnesty.
No, these people don't change.
He doesn't seem to be interested in the economy. He doesn't.
He doesn't
register on his radar much. He doesn't even know that much about economics.
He's a war guy. He's a military guy. His grandfather was. His father was. He was raised that way.
Well, then good. Then he works on that and leaves the amnesty alone.
He spent too much time on it. If for whatever reason, like Bush, it's a big part of his soul.
Well, Bush was governor of Texas, and he formed a relationship with the Mexican president, Vicente Fox. I don't know where this comes from in McCain. Do you? Arizona's a border state, but other than that, I can't think of why.
You know what? They may feel it's America's duty to take in the impoverished and give them the freedom and opportunity here in America.
McCain's been in the Senate for like 20-something years. He's always been like that? It just seems more recent. Well, although he voted for the 86 amnesty.
Yeah, I mean, nobody discussed this until Bush took office. It was never discussed during the Clinton years. I don't know what anybody thought before the year 2004, because it wasn't until Bush brought it up in 2004 that it became an issue.
Right. After the 86 amnesty, the issue just died for many years.
But I'm going to go by what they do. McCain was hell-bent 2 years in a row to get amnesty passed. I don't think he's changed his mind. I don't think any politician. Do you know anybody who changes their political views sharply on a major issue in a short period of time? I don't. Most people keep their political views over a long period of time and maybe modify them
in the face of
success or failure.
You're right about that, but what is the priority? You believe it's high.
Yeah, but
I
think he's
willing. You believe in the first 100 days, or he's going to wait a couple of years?
He's going to want to cut some deals. He, you know, when in that speech about what life is going to be like in 2013, he talked about this nonsense about the border governors declaring the border secure, which is an absurd standard. Because you're talking about, you know, Democratic governors or some waffle like Schwarzenegger who are going to declare the border secure. And what does that mean when the border's secure? You know, anybody could declare the border secure. I don't know what the standards are for that. But he's going to go for something like that, some nebulous idea of what secure borders means, declare them secure, and then say to the public, okay, I did what you want. I sealed the border off. Now give me what I want. Let's have some compassion for the illegals. He's going to want to make a deal. And the terms of the deal are going to be intentionally vague.
And Obama, should he become president? How big a priority is this for him? We know he's in favor of amnesty. I also read that recently, you know, he's still been amping up comments about hate crimes against Hispanics and blaming it on those who rail against illegal immigration. All sorts of stuff he made up.
He's a left-wing socialist. Show me a left-wing socialist that's not for amnesty.
However, won't inner-city blacks come after him if he's pushing for amnesty since illegals have undermined their economic opportunities?
There's not enough of them. See, the thing is, big bonus for his party. Almost all the amnesty lovers, almost all the amnesty cases will vote Democratic. Even if a Republican president signs the bill, they're still going to vote Democratic because of the freebie situation. So Obama, if he wants to bulk up his party with, 10 million, 15 million votes, he would pass amnesty. Imagine an extra 15 million votes going for the Democrats. Boom, just like that. Well, that pretty much ensures his reelection, doesn't it?
By the way, this La Raza convention will have a home ownership fair. They'll have a naturalization clinic for legal residents who want to become citizens. And they'll have legal advice for families facing foreclosure. Plus a town hall meeting on health care reform. We, of course, will probably we'll try to cover this next month, or rather the month after. It's next month, July
12th. I would rather blow my brains out with a big gun than sit at a town hall meeting on health care.
All right.
Oh, my God.
When we come back, surprise, Special Order 40. There's a lawsuit against it, and a judge is hearing arguments on the challenge to this lawsuit. We'll talk about it next.
On the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Your information foundation.
KFI AM 640.
Tonight on Kennedy and Suits, if you're a doctor and someone cuts you off at the gas line and you beat them up with a tire iron, do you have to render aid? Tonight at 7 on Kennedy and Suits.
The John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau on the big throbbing KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Coming up after 5 o'clock, balloon pioneer Treb Heining will join us. He was on our show a few weeks ago after the balloon ban bill passed the state Senate, and he is renowned in the balloon industry for putting together quite some displays for some rather famous celebrations, including New Year's Eve celebrations and the Summer Olympics here in L.A. back in 1984. And he'll give us his thoughts on Jack Scott's balloon ban bill.
He called in a few weeks ago. He's an entertaining guy, so we'll enjoy talking to him coming up after 5 o'clock.
As we get ready for tomorrow's show in Pasadena, you may not know this, but there is a guy by the name of Harold P. Sturgeon who filed a lawsuit 2 years ago against Chief Bratton of the LAPD and members of the police commission, seeking to have Special Order 40 declared unlawful. And today there is a day in court before Judge Rolf M. True. But it's not what you think. Rolf M. True is not actually hearing the arguments about Sturgeon's lawsuit to get rid of Special Order 40. He's actually hearing the arguments to get rid of Harold P. Sturgeon's lawsuit. You see, the ACLU has teamed up with a bunch of illegal alien activist groups to try to throw this lawsuit out of court. And apparently today was the day the judge was going to hear arguments on their challenge. And I don't think it's good that a year and a half ago he ruled that these four groups that, quote, assist undocumented illegal aliens, that they can intervene as defendants in the case. Something called Break the Cycle, the Day Laborers.
What? See, I'm really at a loss here.
About what?
Well, because the ACLU is representing people who really have no legal standing.
Standing, right. Not in this country. They shouldn't.
You know, that's a Special Order 40 is nothing more than a directive from the police chief. It's a policy. It can be reversed with a snap of the fingers. So, I mean, there's no constitutional right. There's no constitutional protection that these illegal aliens have. I mean, I understand what the ACLU is doing. This is what they do for a living. You know, they throw up a lot of legal fog, you know, on behalf of a cause that they believe in. But I don't know how the judge is going to rule here, but unless Sturgeon doesn't have a legal standing to bring the lawsuit, I can't imagine that this isn't a legitimate issue to debate in court, because I think the question is whether, you know, a local policy like that can undermine a state or a federal law.
Well, the lawsuit wants a permanent injunction to prevent taxpayer money from being used to enforce Special Order 40.
Well, that's...
The lawsuit says that...
It's kind of vague. I mean, what money is being used to not pursue illegal aliens?
Yeah, I thought of that, too.
So that's what I mean. I mean,
they also claim, though, that it hampers the LAPD's ability to exchange information with federal immigration officials, which it does.
See, the basis for a lawsuit, as I've understood it, because there's been the Judicial Watch has a lawsuit
going
on. And it seemed, you know, to my memory, that had a better legal standing in that, are you allowing a local police force to trump a state law or a federal law? There is some law that they were citing which requires, you know, the police to enforce, you know, the illegal alien provisions.
Right.
And that the LAPD was thumbing its nose at a higher legal authority. Now, that to me is a good legal argument. You know, what Sturgeon is saying here, I don't know.
Well, the reason I think Sturgeon has filed the suit, because he is a taxpayer, so he's filing it from citizen taxpayer standing.
Yeah, but what tax money is being used to not enforce a law?
That does seem like slim reasoning.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk next to a balloon pioneer.
Treb Heining.
And this man has done wonderful, famous things with balloons.
He has, and like us, he's not happy about Jack Scott's balloon ban bill.
And so we're all going to gear up, because in 22 hours, the wrath of the public against Jack Scott. Terry Ray Elmer has the news now on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Tuesday, June 10th.
Obama, you can't avoid people that don't like you, and he just, in a 30-minute speech, got all these people that endorsed him to now hate him.